We pray that you will lead us now by your Spirit into your truth. We thank you that the Holy Spirit has come, that he has given us your truth. We thank you for the Word of God, and now open our hearts and minds to it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated and open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. We return today to the subject of speech in the book of Proverbs. We've had two messages on destructive speech and one message on constructive speech. And so today we come to the second message on constructive speech in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, we have our text for today, and we see an example of constructive speech. Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words or a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Recently, I had a three-way phone conversation. It was rather delightful. There was a lady who called regarding a matter of business here at the church, and in the conversation, she said something about my speech. She said something like this: "Sounds like you are from the South." But she had a very musical, very delightful accent herself. And so I asked where she was from. And she said she was from England, from London, I think. A very beautiful, delightful accent. And then there was a third person online. And I said, "And where are you from?" Because they also had an interesting accent, a very delightful one. And they were from Jamaica. So we had England and Jamaica and Texas all combined on one conversation. And it was a fun moment sharing that human commonality of language and our distinctions. And I want to say how much I love hearing all of you speak. I have told others how I love to hear you read Scripture and their various accents, and it's musical to my ears. I enjoy it. It's a blessing to see it. And I want to take us now to a very interesting text of Scripture that has to do with this. Look at Matthew chapter 26, and this is the Apostle Peter. The context is very negative, but I want you to notice something here. In Matthew chapter 26, Peter is denying Jesus. That's the negativity of the context. Notice verse 72, Matthew 26, verse 72. "But again, he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man,'" meaning Jesus. "And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them,'" that is one of the disciples, "'because your speech betrays you.'" His accent, his dialect from Galilee, "your speech gives it away." Now, I want to apply this to this subject of speech. Ask yourself this question: does my speech, now here I'm not talking about accent, does my speech, do the words that come from my mouth on an everyday basis, do they indicate that I have been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they indicate that Christ is resident in my life? Or do I talk like a pagan who does not know Jesus as Savior? What does my speech say to others? Do I have a foul mouth like others? Do I get angry and curse like others? Do I use God's name in vain like others? our speech says something about our heart. Do our words build up or do they tear down? Do our words build up or do they destroy? And this applies to everyone of every age. If you are under the age of 10 years, look at me for a minute. Do you know your speech says much about you? What is common among children? Cutting each other, making fun of each other, pointing out someone's idiosyncrasy, something of them that maybe they feel very self-conscious about, and we point it out, we make fun of them. I still remember when I was in the second grade, this little girl made fun of the shape of my head. I still remember it. Woody has an egg head. I still remember that. After all these years, words are cruel and people make fun of each other because of something. So kids, listen to me. Your speech says something about you. Teenagers, young people, listen. It may be cool to cuss and to say various words, but it is not godly. And if you name the name of Jesus Christ, your speech should be different. And adults, the same. What do our words say about us? Our speech gives it away, what is in our heart. Constructive speech. Here is speech that builds up, that edifies. Last time we looked at this in Proverbs. There is warning and rebuking speech. There is divine speech, instructive speech, knowledgeable speech, excellent speech, true speech, righteous speech, life-giving speech, and wise speech. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, and we pick up on constructive speech. And may we have such speech that indeed it betrays us. It gives away this, that we know Jesus, that Jesus is in our heart, that we respond differently to the circumstances of life because of the Lord Jesus Christ being in us. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, we see this. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his speech, his lips, is wise. Here is restrained speech. Oftentimes, the greater part of wisdom withholds speech and does not allow one to speak all of one's mind. Watch out whenever you're tempted to say this, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm going to let her have a piece of my mind. We better take a step back and say, wait a minute. Maybe that's not the right thing to do. Restrained speech. Hold back. Maybe I should say nothing. And if you have a dispute in your family at some point, maybe in the heat of the moment, it's the time to take a walk around the block and not to speak. Just zip it and think about it for a while and pray and restrain the speech. That may be the part of wisdom. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Proverbs 13, 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. If you are ever stopped for speeding or for running a red light or something like that, that's not the time to express your opinions about the NYPD to the officer. Keep it to yourself. Think kind words and guard your mouth. There are many other circumstances in life that is not a time to let something fly off the cuff. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. It might be a time to say something very positive if it is sincere. Guarding our lips is a wise course of action. Look at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. What an amazing verse. Proverbs 17, 28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, He is considered perceptive. Did you ever hear that wise saying? Better to keep your mouth closed and have people think you're a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Even a fool is considered wise when he holds his peace, but he who shuts his lips is considered perceptive. And Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Never underestimate the power of words. Words are powerful. And we are called upon as God's people to show restraint in our speech. So let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, James tells us. We've looked at that text before. So we have restrained speech, that is godly and wise speech. Did you notice the example of Jesus before his accusers? How many times he said nothing? He stood there, king. He stood there and he took it. He stood and he took their attacks and their insinuations. You who destroy the temple, rebuild it in 3 days. Well, what are you doing now? Save yourself. Come down from the cross. All of these things. And he took it. Restrained speech. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20. Here is a second category for today. Valuable speech. Valuable speech. This is the kind of constructive speech that blesses so many and that we all need. Right after the verse it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, we find this, verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The words of the wicked is worth, the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Look at this. The tongue of the righteous, that is the words that come from a righteous heart, it's like silver. Think of the value of the precious metal, silver and gold. May our words be like giving money, silver, to others. There used to be a day when our coins had intrinsic value. I had the blessing to be a paper boy, and we sold the St. Petersburg, Florida evening paper for 10 cents, a dime. And it's when the silver standard was departing, but I had a collection of dimes that were silver. They had value in them because of the precious metal. And so silver, imagine every time we say a word, giving someone a silver dime or a silver dollar. What a blessing that would be to have valuable speech. Some speech is characterized by worth. It is worthwhile. It's worth hearing. And some speech is characterized by having no value and shouldn't be listened to because it comes from a vile heart and a foolish mind. So no need to listen to it. Some speech feeds many. It's like giving people food and bread when they're hungry. But fools have nothing to offer. They die of lack of wisdom. In the conversations of life, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can add value if we will speak God's wisdom and God's eternal truth. And listen, there's nothing more valuable than the Word of God. And the value of Scripture, it's more to be desired than gold, Psalm 19 tells us. The principles of God. So we speak, we interject God's truth, God's principles into the circumstances of life, and we add value. Here is a discussion, a need for wisdom. We walk with God, we pray, we seek the Lord, and then we say something that is worth hearing. It is such a blessing when we have children, youth, others say something valuable and not just foolish, but something of worth. Where do they get that? If they will meditate in the Word of God, the same for us as adults, valuable speech. May we then share the values of the gospel. Imagine that, giving someone something so much more valuable than even a gold coin. And I don't know what it is today, but when gold was over $1,000 an ounce, imagine that. Imagine giving somebody a gold coin, blessing them with something that is so valuable. You give them the gospel, give them the word of God. It's more valuable than that, more than gold, valuable speech. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 32. Proverbs 10:32. Here is a third category of speech, appropriate speech. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. If God convicts you of certain words that you are used to saying, and all of a sudden you think, wait a minute, I think that may have some off-color overtone. I think that may be using God's name in vain. I'm not going to say that. You know what's happening? Your heart that has been made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ is speaking to you, showing you by God's Spirit, that's not acceptable. You don't need to talk like that anymore. You need to cut that out. That doesn't fit for a righteous heart. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. So we meditate in the Word of God so that we're thinking God's thoughts after Him. That instructs our heart, tells our heart what is acceptable, and then it has an impact on what comes out of our mouths. Appropriate speech. As fools and wicked people bring forth inappropriate and foolish speech, so the godly and the wise bring forth what is acceptable, or fitting, as one version has, speech which shows discernment and sense. That's the kind of speech God's people need, not what is froward or perverse or twisted. Appropriate speech. Look at chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6. More scriptures on appropriate speech. Proverbs 12, 6. The words of the wicked are, lie in wait for blood, have a plot, do something wrong, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The words of the wicked plot to do evil, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. They know what is appropriate. Chapter 15 and verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word spoken in appropriate time, how good it is. Have you ever left a circumstance, a gathering or something, and you say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that? On the other hand, have you ever left some situation, maybe when you were being attacked or criticized, and you go away and you say, thank you, Lord, I'm so glad I didn't lose it, that I didn't say something. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. What a blessing, a word spoken in the right season. I remember in junior high, I was in shop class. Shop was one semester, and drafting, introducing young men to architectural things. And that drafting class was very interesting to me, but I was so slow in my drawings. We had our drawing boards there and our T-squares and the triangle and so on. And we were to do these drawings, and it seems like I would not even be halfway finished a drawing and the teacher would give us another drawing. And so I began to hate the class because I could never finish, it seems like. It took extra time because of my slowness. There was a teacher meeting, a parent-teacher meeting. My mom went to that meeting, and she came home, and she said, and she didn't know about my struggle. She came home, and she said, Mr. White, I still remember his name, Mr. White said, you're really good at that. I said, really? Really? My attitude completely changed, because I thought I was doing terrible because I didn't finish. But he apparently saw some value in what I was doing. That word, fitly spoken, changed everything. Changed my attitude toward class. Instead of resenting the class, and he was generous or gracious, gave me extra time or whatever. Don't remember all the details, but I remember that. A word fitly spoken moms, dads, adults, kids, all of us here today. A word spoken at the right time to someone can make such a difference. Change direction, change attitude, change success or failure. A word fitly spoken. This is appropriate speech, saying the right thing in the right time. Look at chapter 25 and verse 11. Chapter 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Gold and silver have value. Imagine this picture, and here are gold apples, and they're set in these settings of silver. Maybe it's like a jewel set in this special setting, a setting of value. And here he's saying a word fitly spoken, spoken appropriately at the right time. Oh, there are occasions when a glad word will make such a difference in someone's day. There are occasions when some believer who's facing the world, the flesh, and the devil, who is being downtrodden by temptation, can be encouraged by a glad word that maybe says, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to know this, I'm praying for you. I thank God over the years for every time somebody has said to me, I'm praying for you. What a blessing that is. It is an appropriate word. It's a word fitly spoken. We can give those kind of words to others, and we should. Appropriate speech. That fits with the next one. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. The next category, encouraging speech. Proverbs 12, 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I have files called this encouragement notes. And they are notes, cards, and other things that people have sent over the years, especially when going through some trial, and there is an encouragement note, and someone says, I'm praying for you. And they say, God is faithful. They share some scripture, and they lift up a heart that is sad. Those files reveal some special treasures because they contain encouraging speech. Recently, we got a fat envelope in the mail. And in this were several encouragement notes from some people at Terrell Bible Church in Terrell, Texas, saying they were praying for us. Praise the Lord, because we see this is a tremendous and exciting and overwhelming mission field, and we need prayer. The prophets need prayer, and we at East End, we all need prayer. And we need to encourage one another in the battle because we face the battle and we want to be effective for Christ. I want you all to be effective for Christ. And I challenge you again, plan on this. You can use the old directory now. The new directory comes. Use it as a prayer guide to encourage godliness, to encourage evangelism, to encourage people who may have anxiety in the heart and are depressed. You can lift them up. You can bless them. And maybe there is no anxiety, but you can just spur them on. You can encourage them and say, keep going in the work of the Lord. A good word makes it glad. Let us be encouragers. And let us challenge those who discourage and just want to speak negative, destructive things. Let us say, no, I want to be positive and encouraging and build for the glory of God. I don't want to have any time for downcast words. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30. Proverbs 15 and verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. This is encouraging speech. A good report. What a blessing it is to share an answer to prayer to someone else. A prayer meeting to say God has answered a prayer, to share a praise with someone. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. We look at someone in the eyes. We bring blessing to someone else because we pay attention to who they are with our eyes. And then we say, I have a good word for you. This is a blessing on the street. You're handing out tracts. This is exactly what you need to do. The light of the eyes, the triple E's, you engage. You engage the eye of someone, and then you encourage them, good morning, sir, and you extend a gospel tract. That's a great thing to do. Engage the eyes. Have a bright eye with the love of Christ in it. And see that soul passing in front of your face as someone destined for either heaven or hell. And they need the good news of the gospel. So your eye, the light, rejoices their heart. You engage the eye. You extend and you encourage with a glad word. Good day, sir. Good news for you, ma'am. This is for you. It works in witnessing. It works in the church. It works everywhere. We need to do this. Encourage with our speech. Look at chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 24. Verse 16. Chapter 16, verse 24, and we'll see this under another category too, but it fits here. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. If you got to work on regulating your sugar, you got to be careful of honey, but I love honey, and I love the honeycomb. I love that spun honey too, all of that. Think of your words being like delicious honey. Let's go back to the Bible times. They didn't have refined sugar. What did they sweeten with? Honey. Honey from the palm, honey from the beehive, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a sweetener. It was a delight. It was a dessert. And have you ever had the Greek dessert, baklava, the honey and the nuts? It's outstanding. Think of your speech being like that, pleasant words like honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. That, my friends, is encouraging speech. When you give hope to someone to take another step in the track of life, to take another step, even if there's a burden that they're bearing, to go on and follow Christ, that is encouraging speech. Let me stop here and give the most encouraging speech of all. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, the gospel good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love toward us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We don't have to stay lost in our sin. We can be saved. That is good news. That is encouraging speech. Now notice this. There's another category. Preserving speech. Preserving speech. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 3. Proverbs 14:3. This fits in with life-giving speech, Proverbs 14:3, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. The fools say something that is proud, that may lead to their getting a beating. It's a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Preserving speech. Wise people speak in such a way that they ensure preservation in opposition to punishment. Preservation instead of punishment. Do you speak in a way to preserve life or speak in a way to bring punishment on yourself? Preserving speech. Have you ever seen these videos of someone who's incarcerated? I remember this particular thing that I saw somewhere. This man was incarcerated, and he had some incredible ability. I don't know if he's demonized or on drugs or what, but to escape. He was strapped into a chair. Was his spirit, was his will broken? Was his rebellion conquered? No. The vile things that he could spew, that he could say. You say to the officers, when I get out, I know where you live. I'll come after you, blah, blah, blah. All of this, that's the opposite of preserving speech. Not the thing to say at that time. preserving speech. Wise people know what to say. Fools know what to say to bring punishment on them. Now let's go to chapter 15. Let us have preserving speech, and let us also have this. Chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is opposite to what we are inclined to do. Someone gives to us a harsh word, what do we want to do? Match it. We want Newton's law to come into effect. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so we want to give back a reaction. And the Bible says, don't. Yeah, but I didn't start it. She started it. He started it. I never start a fight, but I never walk away from one either. Well, why not? Why not walk away from one? Well, you're not a man then. Well, maybe you are. Maybe you're more of a man. A soft answer turns away wrath. Go to Jesus' example when he said nothing, and then at times when he did say something gently. It is a normal, sinful human response when we are treated harshly and meanly to give it back. But this verse says, say something softly. Instead of cursing, give blessing. When they give you a curse, give them a blessing. Or say nothing. Look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. There is both appropriate, inappropriate speech there, and here is the kind and gentle speech. Where do you practice this? A home would be a good place to start. If someone answers roughly, answer in kindness. Someone is hard to get along with, show forth sweetness to them. We heard recently the power of giving thanks. Ladies, wives, try this. And men, husbands, try this. Young people, try this to your parents, your grandparents, caregivers. Express gratitude. Ladies, you go to your husband and say, thank you for working and providing. Thank you. Men, go to your wives. Thank them for what they do. Thank them for their hard work. Thank them for all that they do to make the home come together. Thank them. Bless them. A soft answer turns away wrath. Words are so powerful, and they can bring disruption to our life or peace to our lives. If someone gets irritated at you at church and speaks roughly to you, I challenge you to speak sweetly back. And if you mess up, then ask them to forgive you. And then speak swiftly and sweetly. Notice it says a harsh word stirs up anger. So here's the picture. Here is a harsh word. I'm going to put it into the metaphor of a fire. The fire is blazing here. We have two options. On the one hand, over here is a bucket of water. Over here is a bucket of gasoline. And which bucket we choose is going to make all the difference in the outcome. The fire is going. It's erupted. If I choose the soft answer, I'll go over here and get the bucket of water and I'll answer softly and pour it on that fire. But what comes natural to me is to rush to the gas can and pick it up and dump it on there. Boom! And the whole place is aflame and explodes. And somebody gets hurt. This is every day in our lives. It's on the street. It is in the subway. It is in traffic. It's at the work center. It's in our homes. It's in our living rooms. And you can't go to whatever you see on media as having the biblical response to a harsh word. No, what you would often see would be throwing the gas on it. And the gas is nasty. And the words are nasty and they're destructive. May God give us the grace to have soft answers. Look at chapter 25 in verse 15. Proverbs 25 in verse 15. By long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone. A gentle tongue, a kind tongue, can be full of power. Look at chapter 31, the picture of the virtuous woman. Chapter 31 in verse 26. What an amazing statement here. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The virtuous woman knows how to speak with kindness, to have a soft answer. Let's go back to chapter 15 of Proverbs. Let me hasten to another category. Here is pleasant and pure speech. Proverbs 15. And notice verse 26, Proverbs 15, 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. The words of the pure. What a blessing to have those kind of words. Notice chapter 16 and verse 21. The wise in heart will be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increases learning. Sweet speech, pleasant words promote learning. Chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul, health to the bones. There we have those life-giving, encouraging, pleasant words. In chapter 22, and verse 11. 22:11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Amazing. Purity of heart and grace on the lips, and you have friends in royal positions. Pure hearts, sweet, gracious speech. Speech with and about grace. That is pleasant and pure speech. Proverbs 22:11. Now let's go to this one. Proverbs 27 and verse 21. This is a fascinating verse. How interesting is this? Proverbs 27, 21. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. Or one version, a man is tested by the praise accorded him. How do you take praise? Do you simply give God the glory and say it's because of the Lord? Or does it puff you up and say, yeah, I'm just so wonderful? A man is tested by the praise accorded him, valued or tested by what others say of him. May we have testing speech when that praise comes to us. May we in our minds immediately think it's because of God's glory, and we give God the glory and the praise. Now let me finish with Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28. Back to the context of the virtuous woman. Words can demonstrate honor and appreciation. Words can express praise to the Lord. Certainly this should be done at the home, in the home. Look at Proverbs 31, 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. This praise tests us and should then come to God for his glory. But people need to be praised. They need to be blessed. We need to bless the Lord with all our hearts. We need to bless those he's put into our lives. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, children to parents. Run to your parents. Give them a hug. Tell them you love them. And appreciate what they have done for you, what they provide for you. And give glory to God. We get in a danger zone when we take each other for granted in the local church. show blessing and appreciation to others for how they faithfully serve the Lord and do the will of God. Blessing speech, praising speech, this is so important in a world where so many times the speech is so destructive. Let me draw this to a close. These four messages on God's wisdom about speech, two on destructive speech, two on constructive speech. Proverbs opens with the warning speech coming from wisdom, and it closes with the blessing speech of the husband and children to the virtuous woman. Also, for the destructive patterns in Proverbs, we see the beginning of the book describing the negative enticements of sinners. And then the ending of the book in chapter 30 describing the request to put falsehood away. The part of wisdom is to understand these speech patterns, to avoid the destructive ones, to practice the constructive ones, and God's people should have wise speech. Let me ask you something. Does your speech betray you? What does it betray? What does it show? Does it show that you belong to Jesus? Does my speech show that I belong to Jesus, that I have a clean heart, that I've been regenerated, that I'm new in Christ? Or does it show that I'm still in the depths of depravity? What does it show? Does it show that I'm living, walking in the Spirit, or walking according to the flesh? I want to close with this text. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Think of this in terms of speech. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former speech, that is, the former speech before Christ, where we spoke in our ignorance, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In all your conversation, it means your lifestyle, and part of that is indeed my speech. Speech is powerful. Our words are powerful. What does my speech say about me? What does your speech say about you? Could we have this simple prayer to God? If you know Jesus is your Savior, can you pray this to the Lord? God, will you give me holy speech? Lord, will you fill my mouth with holy speech? Because speech is part of my conduct, my lifestyle, and you have said here that I am to be holy. Let's bow our heads together. Are you willing to pray that simple prayer to the Lord? God, will you give me holy speech? If you're here and you have not trusted Christ as Savior, your speech may be betraying you. It may show that you have a need deep in your heart. We invite you today to trust in the Lord Jesus to save you. Right where you sit, would you say, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died and He rose again. I'm asking you to save me. Will you call on the Lord to save you, to forgive you all your sins, to forgive foul speech and every other sin? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before I pray, is there anyone who would say, yes, I am today asking Jesus to save me. I'm admitting my sin to Him, and I'm asking Him to give me eternal life and to take away all my sins. If that's what you're saying in your heart to God, would you just lift up your hand? Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. You lift up your hand and say, yes, I'm telling the Lord that today. Is there a believer who would say, this is one of my battlegrounds. I struggle in my speech. Will you pray that I would have holy speech? Slip up your hand. Amen. You may put it down. Thank you. Our Father, we come to you like Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. O Father, we come into your presence asking you to give us holy speech. You would cleanse our hearts from ungodly speech. Lord, if there's anyone here today who's not yet trusted Jesus to save them, to forgive their sins, I pray that this very day they would do so. I pray for every believer, I pray for everyone who raised their hands, that you would give them your power to have holy speech. I pray for every one of us, Lord, because every day we need the speech that exalts Jesus, that shows that we belong to Christ. Oh, Lord, forgive us those times where we've been betrayed. We have not lived up to who we are, just like Peter. We've said something that was wrong. We pray for your forgiveness, your cleansing. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I'd ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed to take this moment to prepare for the Lord's table. It's a time to worship the Lord. It's a time to confess sin. It's a time to confess attitudes, words, thoughts that have been ungodly. Let's pray. Prepare our hearts for God's table. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just in quietness, let's prepare our hearts.